Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Leslie McClurg. I'm in today for Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, it's now more difficult to insure a home in California. Two of the biggest insurers are pulling out of the new homes market. They say exposure to catastrophes like wildfires, plus the costs of construction, are simply too great. State Farm announced last month that it will no longer sell new homeowners insurance anywhere in California. And just over the weekend, Allstate confirmed that it has paused new claims for the same reason. We'll talk about how the state is responding and what it means for your future home. That's next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Leslie McClurg. I'm in today for Mina Kim. Climate change is sparking an insurance crisis. Two of the state's largest insurers will not take on new claims for homeowners insurance, State Farm and Allstate. The two companies say climate change and construction costs are making it too expensive to do future business here. Ouch. Today's panel will help us understand what this means for current homeowners, future buyers, and even renters. We're joined now by Ivan Penn. He's a Los Angeles-based reporter covering alternative energy for The New York Times. Welcome, Ivan. Can you kind of give us the lay of the land here? So these two major companies are pulling out, kind of flesh out exactly why, starting with State Farm.
It's good to be with you all today. This is one of the clear impacts of climate change. What we saw emerge, particularly after the wildfires of 2017, was a growing concern about not so much the wildfires, because we obviously have had wildfires in California, but in 2017, the wildfires really exploded. We began to see shortly after that, and rates begin to jump, and some insurers began to refuse to renew policies. But what we now have is State Farm and Allstate deciding not to take new policies, which this is an issue that we have seen all across the country related to devastating events, whether it is the wildfires in California, the hurricanes in places like Florida and the Gulf Coast states, as well as flooding in the inland states. The effects of climate change now are being felt by everyone, and the insurers are trying to look at how they mitigate the impacts of these devastating events and trying to shore up their financials.
But as you said there, this is happening all across the country. So why California? If we've got a lot of other states with other issues, whether it's tornadoes, like you said, or flooding, hurricanes, et cetera, why California now?
Well, California, again, 2017 started a series of major wildfires. And of course, 2018, we had the most deadly, the Camp Fire, which destroyed the town of Paradise. 85 people died, and things continue to explode. Now we're sitting on a situation, particularly this year, where we've had the enormous amount of rain all across the state, which helps with the drought. But the other side of that is that it causes tremendous vegetation growth. And then as we go into the summer, and that vegetation begins to dry out, it becomes significant kindling for more wildfires. And it's not just California. California is now dealing with it because of this series of wildfire events. But we had the same thing with Florida particularly you go back to Hurricane Andrew in 92. And then in 2004, we had five storms hit the state in 6 weeks. And then Hurricane Irma coming in 2017. So you've got all of these different events that began to affect the insurers in the state of Florida. For a while, the big ones left Florida. It put pressure on the state to take on a lot of the policies within the state insurer. And then there were these small companies that arrived. So it's not, you know, it's not just California. California is starting to deal with it because of the extent of these wildfires.
Are there some lessons to learn there from Florida? I think you've lived in both places. So we saw these big companies pull out of Florida. Now we're seeing that here in California. What can California sort of glean from where, you know, what Florida has had to go through in recent years?
Yeah, the interesting thing was, I was working for, at that time, the Miami Herald when Hurricane Andrew hit. I covered Hurricane Ivan in 2004, my namesake. And I wrote about some of the what would term the pup insurance companies, or these small companies that were under capitalized. And that caused a problem. People were seeing their rates not only go up, but losing the major insurers, these smaller ones unable they weren't backed well financially. So there was a lot of concern on those fronts. And it's still playing out where the state insurer in Florida, Citizens, they won't cover replacement costs that exceed $700,000 in much of the state, or $1 million in the Miami-Dade or Key West areas. So you're still seeing the effects there. And then you look even beyond Florida and California. You know, the federal government implemented a flood insurance program. Single-family homes nationwide, you know, they're paying right now an $888 per year for that policy, but that's going to go up because of a new risk-based pricing that's going to make the average cost about $1,800, a little more than $1,800 on average. So again, we're seeing this all over the country. A lot of these things, because we obviously aren't just dealing with wildfires, but there are concerns about, you know, flooding issues in California. So dealing with a myriad of the concerns that the whole country is, and a lot of it driven by climate change.
I want to bring Michael Wara into the conversation now. He's the director of Climate and Energy Police Program for the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment. Welcome, Michael. I'm curious if you can put this into some kind of, you know, practical terms. What is this going to mean, these two companies bailing on California, State Farm and Allstate, for homeowners? What are we going to see for new homeowners in terms of, you know, potentially, you know, policies being much more expensive?
Well, you know, I think the thing for homeowners to worry about is in California right now is actually availability of policies more than price. Certainly price is an issue, especially if you can't get access to the standard, what's called admitted lines coverage, and have to go to the FAIR plan, the prices are much higher. But I think the growing concern is really just that there'll be less access to the standard insurance product that everyone is probably familiar with who owns a home, because of the interaction between this growing risk that Ivan described and the limitations created by the California insurance regulatory system on how insurance is priced. And we're seeing reduced availability and increased reliance on this insurer of last resort. And that's creating kind of structural risk. And that's why what's different about what State Farm and Allstate did is that, you know, prior, you know, since 2017, even before that, there were people in high risk places in California having trouble accessing insurance. Now, You know, there's, but people who lived in, say, the Sunset District in San Francisco or downtown Sacramento really didn't face that problem. I think what we're seeing with these actions is a desire on the part of the insurers to reduce their overall exposure to California as a whole, because they cannot, because of the structure of the regulatory system, they can't limit their exposure to the high wildfire risk properties just by not writing insurance for those properties, because they face exposure to the FAIR plan, which is the insurer of last resort. They kind of have to either take it or leave it. And they're not saying they're going to leave. Of course, you know, State Farm isn't canceling its existing customers' policies, or it's not going to cease to renew them. But it's pretty unusual for a company to say, we don't want to grow. And it's particularly unusual for that company to say, we don't want to grow our business in the largest real estate market in the United States, which is what California is. So it's a sign of real concern for the health of the market. And I think the thing for everyone who focuses on climate change to remember is that insurance, access to high quality, reliable insurance is probably the best climate adaptation strategy that anyone should take in the first instance, right? We also want to reduce our risks and do smart things to reduce our losses, but having good insurance is just fundamental to being resilient to catastrophe.
You mentioned a few times there the FAIR plan, or the plan of last resort. Just explain that for folks who may not be familiar with the FAIR plan and how that increases, you know, insurance companies' exposure by staying in California.
Sure. So the FAIR plan is a structure that was created in the 1960s to really deal with redlining after the Watts riots, right? Where insurers said, we're not going to write policies in mostly African-American neighborhoods because we're worried about riots. And you know, I think there was significant concern about redlining going on. So the FAIR plan is a structure where if you can't get insurance from the normal market, there's this insurance of last resort that is basically just covers the structure, doesn't cover all the other things that normal insurance covers, like the contents of your home and, you know, umbrella coverage in case you there's some other liability that might threaten your home, but just the structure. And it's allowed greater flexibility in setting rates. So FAIR plan rates in high wildfire risk areas are much higher because they are higher risk and there aren't the same limitations. In addition, they are the FAIR plan structure allows the FAIR plan to assess companies that participate in the California admitted lines market depending on their market share. So if you have 20% of the insurance market in California and the FAIR plan runs short of money, you have to pay 20% of the money that FAIR plan needs to stay solvent.
Which is State Farm, right? I mean, State Farm has 20% of the market. So I want to get into exactly what that's going to look like and why that's making State Farm sort of bail, because that 20% is a risk they don't want to take on. So hold that thought and we'll be right back with you, Michael. We're talking about how climate change is affecting California's homeowners insurance market now that State Farm and Allstate are no longer accepting new policy applications anywhere. Stay with us.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Leslie McClurg. I'm in today for Mina Kim. And we're talking about how climate change is affecting California's homeowners insurance market now that State Farm and Allstate are no longer accepting new policy applications anywhere in the state. And we were joined in that last segment by Ivan Penn. He's a Los Angeles-based reporter covering alternative energy for The New York Times. Thank you so much for being with us, Ivan. And we're now joined again by Michael Wara. He's the director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program and a senior researcher researcher, research scholar at the Woods Institute for the Environment at Stanford University. And Kimiko Barrett is with us as well. She's a research and policy analyst for Headwaters Economics. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here. Michael, before we went into the break, you were talking about how the FAIR plan exposes insurance companies like State Farm. So State Farm has 20% of the insurance market here in California. And if I'm understanding this correctly, so basically, if massive disaster happened and the folks are insured through the FAIR plan, which is the plan of last resort that the state offers, if that plan, if the state can't pay, you know, for those claims, then the insurance companies in California have to come in and help kind of bail out the state. Is that kind of how it works? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, that's more or less correct. And the thing for people to understand is that the FAIR plan is currently in a $300+ million deficit, at least so far as its most recent financial reporting.
Ouch.
And it has grown, it's grown substantially since 2017, 2018, both in terms of the number of policies, right? It's gone from 120,000-ish policies up to above 250,000 policies. But more importantly, Commissioner Lara made a very significant change to FAIR plan coverage. It used to have very strict limits on the amount of coverage. I believe it was $250,000 was the maximum coverage. And he raised that to 3 million. And so the amount of policy written, the policy coverage has gone from something like 40 billion to something like 250 billion over that period. So there's just much more high risk exposure in the FAIR plan. It's in deficit. And the companies are looking at the situation and feeling, you know, nervous, I think is the right way to put it. And that calculus, plus the fact that inflation rates, especially inflation for construction, as anybody who's tried to do a remodel in California has encountered this, has really accelerated and is much greater even than, you know, the regular inflation rate, core inflation, means that the insurance industry is struggling to see the upside in participating in the California homeowners market in general at this point.
And is that unique, the sort of the bailout that the insurance companies have to bail out the state? Is that clause or that policy by Ricardo Lara, the insurance commissioner of California, is that unique to California? Do other states not require insurance companies to participate in that way?
It varies state to state. And I would emphasize that policy predates Commissioner Lara. He's, you know, he is not the person that created that system. You know, he has taken steps to try to increase access to the FAIR plan and improve the package of insurance that the FAIR plan is required to offer. So he didn't create the system we have.
Got it.
It's not unique to California, but I think the overall picture in California is relatively unique and is very consumer friendly.
Got it.
Which
got
worked
it.
Okay before we had catastrophic wildfire.
Right. And just to underline, we did reach out to State Farm and Allstate. We invited them to be on the show or provide additional statements, and State Farm declined, and Allstate did not get back to us in time for this show. So we want to open our conversation, open our phone lines, and hear from listeners about what they're dealing with in this situation. Again, we're talking about how climate change is affecting California's homeowners insurance market now that State Farm and Allstate are no longer accepting new policy applications anywhere in the state. And we're joined by Michael Warren. He's the director of Climate and Energy Policy Program and a senior research scholar at the Woods Institute for the Environment at Stanford University. Kimiko Barrett, we're about to talk to you in just one moment. She's a research and policy analyst for Headwater Economics. And again, we want to bring in callers. Maybe you're having trouble insuring your own home. We'd love to hear your story. Maybe you have a question for our experts about what to do in this new situation. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or you can email your comments and questions to forum@kqed.org, or find us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. We're at KQED Forum. Again, give us a call, 866-733-6786. Michael tweets, I'm worried that I will not be able to sell my home because the new buyer will not be able to buy insurance for it, though I have insured it with State Farm for years and years. Could that be true, Michael?
That's a growing risk. I think there's still a large number of providers that are writing new coverage in California. the concern would be that as these kind of larger participants in the insurance market pull out, that you could start to see more and more of this, and that we might be left in a situation like Ivan described has occurred in Florida, where there's very limited access to new underwriting, and the companies that are doing the underwriting are smaller and so more vulnerable to insolvency in a catastrophe.
And Noel tweets, let the insurance companies charge more for homes in fire-prone areas. If we don't have socialized home insurance, then let the market decide. Maybe it can discourage building in the urban wildland interface. I'd love to bring you, Kimiko, into the conversation to just kind of comment on Noel's tweet there. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question, Noel. I think when it comes to coverage in just high-risk areas, there is a lot of concern on behalf of the insurance companies about the ability to actually make that level of compliance adequate and monitor it to ensure that homeowners have effectively addressed that risk in just those high-prone areas. I think it's much more complex when you look at the scale of risk in places like California across the board. And when you start to examine what on a home is vulnerable to wildfire, it goes well beyond just that wildland urban interface. And this is the nature of home destruction, really. And so kind of bringing it back to basic science 101 on wildfire behavior, a lot of homes, a majority of homes actually that are burned during a wildfire are a result of ember or firebrand cast. So those are lofting balls of fire, flames, that get flown anywhere from 1 to 4 miles ahead of that wildfire front. And if they land on any flammable surface area in or around the home, they can threaten the home itself. And then once one home starts to burn, neighboring structures are similarly threatened. So when you start to account for that, again, that 1 to 4 mile advance of embers ahead of a front means that structures traditionally or commonly perceived as being safe because they are outside that wildland urban interface are actually still quite exposed and at risk. So it's not quite so simple as saying, you know, these places have to have higher coverage, even though I understand Noel's principle with this. It's just much more complex when you start to break it down at a parcel level and which homes are truly vulnerable, particularly in a place like California where that risk is quite ubiquitous.
Gotcha. Well, let's bring Lynn into the conversation. Lynn, you're on the air in Mountain View.
Thank you. Hi. I had a question about shared ownership of responsibility for reimbursement. Seems like a lion's share of the California wildfires are related to aging infrastructure, and specifically PG&E. I think of the Thomas Fire. I think of, well, all the fires up north. And I'm wondering if there is a plan for shared ownership so that those responsible may actually participate in helping homeowners maintain the insurance that they so desperately need. I mean, frankly, developers as well, they take responsibility for developing on those lines where areas are more vulnerable.
Michael, do you want to take that one?
My answer up here.
Sure. Well, under California law, if utilities start a fire, and the caller is absolutely right, that utilities have been, and utility line ignitions have been, a major cause of some of the most destructive fires we've had in California over the last 6 years. When utilities start a fire under California law, they are strictly liable for any losses that occur from the ignition. So utilities are definitely a financially responsible party, and that's the reason that PG&E went into bankruptcy during the 2019 period. I apologize for my dog.
We can hardly hear it. No worries about it.
Okay, good. What I'd say is that what's happening in the California market is that the entire system is coming under so much strain that even, you know, with that strict liability provision under law. And so what happened after those fires is that the insurance companies paid claims and then they subrogated against the utilities, and they were an important class of claimants in the bankruptcy. But you never recover 100 cents on the dollar for a subrogation claim. Typically settlements, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is that settlements are more on the order of 50 cents on the dollar. So the insurance companies take a 50% loss, even when there is a financially responsible party against which they can subrogate. Mm. And so it helps, but it's not a panacea.
Got it. We have lots of questions about renters. One listener, we'll just start here. Does this pullout also include new policies for renters insurance? Michael, do you know that? Is this, you know, will State Farm continue to, take on new claims for renters insurance? Michael, are you there?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I'm not sure how this is going to apply to the renters insurance market. I think the evidence suggests that most renters do not have renters insurance. And it's something that, you know, when I served on the Welfare Commission in California, we suggested that, you know, this issue is really critical, actually, and we need to be paying more attention to how low and middle income people in California manage through these catastrophes. And most of those people are renters. They're not homeowners. You know, there are a number of effects of a catastrophe, of wildfire catastrophe, on renters. You know, one of them is that they can lose their rental property and their contents, all of their belongings. Another is that often after a wildfire, homeowners, as a part of their admitted lines policies, get rental coverage for a replacement home while they reconstruct. And that means that the cost of rental housing gets bid up in the area around a wildfire after the wildfire. And that can have huge impacts on renters. And we saw this in Chico after the campfire, where homelessness became a massive problem because 20,000 people from Paradise lost their homes overnight and they had to live somewhere. And there's limited supply of housing in California to begin with. And so Chico now has one of the biggest problems with unsheltered residents of anywhere in California.
It seems to me, Kim E., that one of the problems here is that insurance is very reactive to the situation, right? You have a huge fire and then insurance companies have to cover all those claims and it costs, you know, more than they afford. And now they're saying, hey, the numbers don't add up. What can we do on the front end to be more proactive, you know, and prepare homes for these disasters?
Yeah, this is another great question. And when you're talking about these proactive measures, it really needs to occur across all scales. So starting at that individual resident homeowner level, there are lots of things that are both required by regulation as well as kind of voluntary measures with respect to reducing, again, as I noted earlier, that flammable surface area, essentially. So everything from the roof of your house itself, what's in the gutters, what's in those roof valleys, what's in those wall to roof junction areas, what's on your deck. If you have firewood on your deck, that's probably not the best place to store it during wildfire season. What's underneath the deck? Very importantly, what's within that 0 to 5 foot perimeter around the home itself? And then as you work out under the property, there's things to consider with respect to trees and vegetation management and shrubs, everything again to reduce the vulnerability of exposure to embers and surface fire. So that's on an individual level. As you start to increase in scale and get larger, you have the local fire department side of things. There's lots of opportunities to call your fire department and they can come to your home and provide an assessment that can be incredibly helpful to understand what it is that you need to do to mitigate that risk, what you are required to do by California's existing regulations, and in particular, Chapter 7A, the building code, as well as public resources codes that manage vegetation. And then at the state level, California is already doing quite a bit to try and address mitigation, understanding that they are really leading the country, not only with respect to their risk, they have greater risk than 96% of any other state in the country, but that also on the flip side of this, they are certainly at the forefront of these mitigation and planning efforts. And then all of this leads up to that federal scale, a policy, and what can be done to help offset what we know are going to be the costs down to that individual level. We know that retrofitting a home is going to require a lot of money, and new construction can require a lot of money. And so trying to offset these costs for the individual homeowner is absolutely necessary if we're all trying to reach the scale of mitigation needed to truly reduce community risk at that neighborhood level.
Let's bring Mike into the conversation. Mike in Palo Alto, you're on the air.
Yes. I was thinking that we should really have the market encourage developers to build homes and systems that are more robust to flood, fire, earthquake, and all the other risks we have, by requiring new-built homes in developments to be sold with something like 10 years of insurance, so that any riskily built homes, riskily built systems, are penalized by the market. That's it.
What do you think about that, Kimmy?
I think it's a very innovative idea. I cannot speak to the insurance as well as I think Michael can on this panel, and so I would defer to him on the specifics of that. But certainly, you know, I think it should be noted, with respect to all new development, Chapter 7A of California's Building Code was adopted in 2008, and it is periodically updated every 3 years, and it is the strongest, most robust building code in the country with respect to wildfire risk reduction measures for new construction. And it is mandating particular types of building materials within the home itself, and then it is supplemented with Public Resources Code to require that very critical mitigation and vegetation management around the home itself. So new homes are already required to meet some standard level of risk reduction. That said, everyone in California knows there is an enormous fleet of existing homes. More than half of all of California's homes predate that 2008 building code. And actually the average building stock in California is 1975. So we know that there is an enormous existing housing stock that requires retrofit. And so I think what is being noted here in the consideration from Mike about integrating some sort of disclaimer would also have to be considered for probably resale of a existing home as well as new development. But again, I would defer to Michael and others on this call with respect to the insurance implications.
We'll let Michael comment after this break. We're about to go into a break, and we're talking about how climate change is affecting California's homeowners insurance market now that both State Farm and Allstate are no longer accepting new policy applications anywhere in the state. We're joined by Michael Wara, director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program, and Kimiko Barrett. She's a research and policy analyst for Headwaters Economics. And soon we'll be joined by Ricardo Lara. He's the insurance commissioner of California. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Leslie McClurg. I'm in today for Mina Kim, and we're talking about how climate change and rising construction costs are affecting California's homeowners insurance market. Both Allstate and State Farm are no longer accepting new policy applications anywhere in the state. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can email your comments and questions to forum@kqed.org or find us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. We're at KQED WED forum. I want to read a comment here that just sort of twists the conversation a little bit. A listener writes, "It's not a bad thing that the two most exposed insurers are writing fewer policies. They aren't exactly leaving the state. Traditionally, they also have underinsured people in order to get more people to buy and keep paying for their policies. Now they can concentrate on the policyholders they have. If it reduces the inclination to continue rapid development in unsafe and unholistic ways, it's a good thing." Is there a twist that this could be a good thing, Michael?
I'm just going to respectfully disagree with the sense of that comment. I don't disagree that underinsurance has been a huge problem in California. It's largely a function of competition in the market and the challenges that California homeowners have with just affording the cost of housing in California. It's a broader structural issue. And there's tremendous value in having the large players willing to write coverage in as many parts of California as possible and giving California homeowners as much choice as possible when they go to purchase homeowners insurance. State Farm has been a company that has not non-renewed customers, like not basically fired customers in high-risk areas up to this point. And so I actually worry that what's going to happen because of their decisions over the last few weeks is that we may see a lot more customers going to the FAIR plan, which is not a good result. The FAIR plan is designed to be a kind of temporary insurance, not a permanent solution for people, even in high-risk areas. And I just want to second what Kimiko said before the break, which is just to highlight the importance of getting mitigations that matter done on existing properties. That is the true solution for California, is to have a more fire resilient fleet of homes, and I worry much more about the existing homes than the new homes, especially new master plan community homes, where it's not just that the houses are built to Chapter 7A, but the street layout and all the infrastructure supporting the homes and in which the homes are placed is designed to reduce the risk of wildfire. I think we need to have a healthy insurance market where admitted lines policies are available to as many customers as possible. That is what we should shoot for as a state.
Well, let's bring Gary, Gary in San Francisco, into the conversation. You're on the air.
Hi. So I was general counsel of the California Insurance Department when Congressman John Garamendi was the insurance commissioner back in the early 2000s. And we had a proposal, along with a number of other insurance commissioners, for a federal reinsurance program that would cover high-cost claims from catastrophes like earthquake, fire, hurricane. This issue that we're having with State Farm is not new. The Florida insurance market failed when carriers stopped writing wind policies because of hurricane risk. Here in California, we had a situation where after the Northridge earthquake, carriers stopped writing earthquake insurance. If you had a federal reinsurance program that was a backstop where claims exceeded a certain amount, then companies like State Farm could mitigate their risk and be willing to continue to write insurance policies in high-risk areas, knowing that they wouldn't bear the full burden when a catastrophe hits. It would be a lot more efficient than what happens now when, you know, a catastrophe happens and FEMA steps in and starts handing out money to people. This would be a better way to do it. So that's a proposal that I think it's come up before. Congress has never passed it, but it's something that, would help a lot.
Well, we're joined now by Ricardo Lara. He's the insurance commissioner of California. Welcome to the conversation. Do you want to comment to Gary's comment there about his proposal idea?
Absolutely. And it's something that we continue to talk with the federal government as we continue to address this ever-changing climate of ours. And also, you know, I just want to say Michael Wara was spot on when it comes to what would be the ideal, which is really to focus on mitigation and bringing down that risk for communities. I was just last week in Orinda, where 30% of the residents are part of FireWise communities. And those are residents really working together to be safer from wildfires. And now they're going to be able to get a discount on their insurance through our new regulation here in California. And that is definitely the goal, is to bring down that risk, keep the admitted insurers riding in these communities, And we know we all win. Consumers win when insurance companies are competing for their business. And that's really what we're trying to achieve here in the department.
Just flesh out that program. I think you're talking about the Safer for Wildfires program. Am I saying that correctly?
You're absolutely correct. And it really came about countless of meetings throughout the Sierra and throughout the state, where we visited over 40 counties, where a couple things were happening. We were hearing from consumers, one, that insurance companies were asking them to do the right thing, which was to mitigate their properties and spend thousands of dollars, but yet they would still get dropped. Or there was really no incentive for them to do it because there was no guarantee they were going to keep their coverage. The other thing we kept hearing was around fire risk scores and how these scores were being assigned to certain communities and what was the methodology behind these risk scores. And so immediately then we started working on a regulation that would say, how do we incentivize Californians to do the right thing and to help them, knowing that the reality of where these fires are occurring are really a diverse economically in these communities. You might have, you know, multi-million dollar homes on one bluff and then turn around the corner and then you have, you know, manufactured housing. Mm-hmm. And so we needed to make sure that people were incentivized to do the right thing. And so we finally got that passed. And now insurance companies have submitted their rate filings. We're looking those over so that we can start giving these important discounts, again, not only just for your home, but and for your surrounding property, but for the entire community. So now we've actually, for the first time, actually started talking about community-wide mitigation standards so that entire communities can come together and bring down that risk and keep insurers riding in these communities.
Well, let's bring Chris into the conversation. Chris in Healdsburg, you're on the air.
Hi. I live in an area in Healdsburg that got hit by the Kincade fire in 2019. My house survived due to methods that I used to build it and protections that I did and vegetation management. The winds at the time when the fire went through here were sustained at 40 to 50 miles an hour. My question is, it seems as though the insurers tend to insure by zip code and not by individual quality of the structure. And I've been having trouble getting insurance, even though I have a proven track record in under worst case scenario.
Commissioner Allar, do you want to comment there?
Absolutely. What we've seen is insurance companies really now move towards using satellite data to determine which homes they're going to underwrite. And the fact is that they don't really get down to the granular level. First, you have to, you know, get sifted through this satellite data that really doesn't take into account your mitigation, which was a big issue for us and why in the regulation, we demanded much more transparency on these fire risk scores. So now what's going to happen is, one, when you get assigned a risk score, you're going to be able to not only push back with the insurance company and be able to say, listen, you're not taking into account our mitigation. So what is the methodology you utilize? That's going to be public data now, and also allow you to appeal that score so that the insurance company can actually come and see the mitigation, because that should count towards not only keeping your coverage, but also giving you the discount that you deserve for doing the right thing.
Well, we have a comment from Jen. She says, if State Farm and Allstate are doing this, will other companies follow? What's being done to ensure that this will not become an overall problem? What's your office doing, Commissioner Lara, to ensure that we just don't have an exodus of insurance companies from California?
Well, first of all, we do not have an exodus. You know, let's be clear. Californians are covered. Companies aren't leaving. And you know, to be clear, we as this is nothing new. We've seen companies, you know, hit the pause button and waiting to assess what is happening. I think a couple of things in terms of thoughts of what we're looking at is really looking at how we look at risk moving forward. We know we can't use historical data. Times are changing. And this confluence of, you know, hotter seasons, wetter winters, coastal flooding, extreme heat, are all kind of confluencing at the same time. And so it's really putting a stress and really a different perspective in terms of how we look at risk in California.
But how are we going to keep the companies here who say, you know, they can't make ends meet in the current climate, literally?
Right. So the conversation with them is around looking at the risk profile, looking at the amount of risk they have in their portfolio, and really managing that risk, one. Two is we've seen a record amount of investment in the legislature when it comes to forest management, prescribed burn, all these different strategies that, by the way, the legislature has never really invested before at like this magnitude. And so we have to get that money out as quickly as possible so that people are using the funds to bring down that risk. I think also partnering with and coupled with, I should say, with our regulation, now giving people that discount to harden their home is all going to help bring the risk down. But unfortunately, that's going to take time. And so we're trying to get those monies out as quickly as possible and get this regulation implemented so that we're bringing down the risk and keep insurers writing again and hit the green button again and start writing new policies. Well, but I should also say that there's over 115 companies still writing homeowners policies in California.
And so it doesn't sound like you're worried that these two giant companies, I mean, State Farm is 20% of the market, are leaving.
No. Well, again, they're not leaving. They put a pause, and we are working with them to look at their risk profile. Obviously, we can't determine what their financial, what financially they're going to do, but we are working with them to, with the department again, to help us understand what is it that they're going to need to actually grow their business in California. And a lot of the conversations center around mitigation, as Michael was saying, and the need for us to really double down on the work that we've been doing and also investing these resources like we've never done before.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Leslie McClurg. I'm in for Mina Kim today. We're talking about how climate change is affecting California's homeowners insurance market. And we've got lots of calls and comments from folks who are going through this, really kind of grappling with this on a real level. Joseph writes, not only is Allstate not writing new policies, I was canceled after 17 years of no claims. 2 years ago, in what was for sure foreshadowing, I got insurance at 180% of my original premium. And Matthew writes, I live in West Sonoma County, some 9 miles from the catastrophic Tubbs fire. I've been a State Farm customer for 30 years. Your guest said, and I think this was Michael, said that current customers were not facing cancellation. But I'm worried, and I'm wondering if I should be exploring other options. I'm in a very safe area, but these ham-handed policy shifts will inevitably impact my ability to afford to stay here. Michael, comment there?
Well, you know, I think it's reasonable for everyone who lives in high-risk areas of the state of California right now to be attentive and concerned. The best thing that they can do to maintain their admitted lines coverage is to take the actions that Kimiko described earlier in the program in some detail. And I would just commend the work that Headwaters Economics does and a lot of the communications products that they have to help homeowners understand what they need to do. You know, we all need to be doing our part. And my expectation would be that the admitted lines coverage is going to start to be much more attentive to whether homeowners actually comply with the letter of the law on defensible space, whether, you know, how close they can get to the Chapter 7A, the wildland urban interface building code standards, even if their home was built long before those codes entered into force. And so we're all going to need to do more, and that's going to cost money. But I think it's worth it if we can avoid the kinds of destructive outcomes that we've seen over the past half dozen years.
Let's bring Andrew into the conversation. Andrew in Los Gatos, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to echo a lot of the comments that were said recently. I am a recent homeowner and have lost insurance through the normal means. I'm on the FAIR plan, and I do echo the sort of problem with the granularity about how home risk is assessed. I could spend tens of thousands of dollars trying to address and home harden, and right now I'm just given a blanket statement no because some map that I don't have access to says that I'm just too high risk. So I'm looking forward to a lot of the changes that were talked about here.
What about those folks who don't even qualify for the FAIR plan, Commissioner Lara?
Well, the FAIR plan has to write you a policy. And yes, you're absolutely right. We do not want people being sent to the FAIR plan. But if you're going to be sent to the FAIR plan, you should have the option to have comprehensive coverage. And that is something that we've been actually fighting with the FAIR plan for a couple of years now, in which they've actually been taking us to court, which is the fact is that insurance companies make money every time you enter into a new contract. And so if you're being sent to the FAIR plan and you're only covering, they're only covering your fire risk, and then they want you to buy this wraparound coverage, well, that's only adding and exacerbating the cost of coverage. And so what I've been advocating is FAIR plan, you need to give a comprehensive option for FAIR plan customers, and also raise the coverage limit so that it actually reflects the current cost in California. Prior to us mandating them to raise their rates, they hadn't raised their rates and since the 70s. And so again, modernizing the FAIR plan is critical. And really, as we transition into really getting the work that has to be done around mitigation, getting those investment dollars from the legislature out as quickly as possible. And the FAIR plan has to modernize to meet the current need of these customers in the WUI or in areas that are at high risk.
Well, what are we doing? We have this needs to be a quick answer because we're about to end our show. I mean, the FAIR plan is really a last-ditch option. It's very expensive and it's not designed for long-term individual use. So how are you working to keep insurance costs down for residents, you know, to buy a new home? And what do we do when the FAIR plan, you know, this is, if it's someone's only option, what else can someone do if they can't afford that?
Well, I think the first thing we got to really focus, and our focus in the department is really, look, we need to build better and we need to rebuild better. We need to be safer, you know, we need safer communities that can withstand these extreme wildfires. And we have to retool our market. So insurance companies, you know, charge the price that is justified, fair, and people have more choices. And so, you know, I always say, if people are having a hard time finding insurance, call our department. We have people Monday through Friday helping people understand what their policy is and what their options are, and actually helping them locate coverage in the admitted market. And so, you know, we're committed to doing that. And again, like Michael said, it's going to take all of us working together to bring that risk down in California and keep insurers writing here in the state.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Commissioner Ricardo Lara. He's the Insurance Commissioner of California. We've also been joined this hour by Kimiko Barrett. She's a research and policy analyst for Headwater Economics. And Michael Wara, he's the director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program at Stanford University. Thank you all so much. And thank you to all the callers for your very insightful questions. Hopefully you got some good answers from our experts. We've been talking about how climate change is affecting California's homeowners insurance market now that State Farm and Allstate are no longer accepting new policy applications anywhere in the state. This hour was produced by Carolyn Smith and Susan Britton. Thank you so much. And to our audio engineer, Danny Bringer, thank you all so much for being on our team today. Y'all have a great day.
Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.